Welcome to the Hot Model Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley joining me, or I'm joining him, because he's the sports editor of the Union Tribune. He's in San Diego. I'm in Atlanta after the Padres were swept in Toronto, which came on the heels of being swept in San Diego by the Mariners. So the Padres have lost six in a row. I would like to break down what's happening now, what the Padres season looks like, but I always defer to you, Ryan. Where would you like to start?
Yeah, I'd like to start there. They've lost six in a row. I thought that yesterday was a step in the right direction. They indicated as much after the game. But losses are losses, man. And they've lost six in a row. All the things they were doing early in the season, they don't seem to be doing now. Whether playing good on defense, having a solid bullpen. It just seems like everything's kind of unraveling a little. On a scale of 1 to 10, Kevin, how concerned are they and how concerned are you that this is the start of something that they may not be able to pull out of anytime soon?
Yeah, you know, when we bring up a they, when we say the Padres think, so that's an interesting question. I don't think they are too concerned, but some of they are concerned. Like, it's clear in their play, right? Like it feels tight. Yesterday was better, for sure. There's no question, if you watched that game, you would not say, oh, I recognize this team for the first time in a week, you know, but you can see it. And certainly you lose six in a row and you don't look like yourself. And it's a little bit of bullpen. It's a lot of offense, very little starting pitching. You would say, you know, a little bit worried, but a scale of 1 to 10, I think you asked. I think they might be a two, but that doesn't mean like they're not. There's not a little bit of them going, okay, this is highlighting some of our deficiencies. What do we need to do about it? How do we fix it internally? How do we fix it potentially externally? And we'll talk about some of those, I'm sure. You and I talked before or texted before. We'll get into some of those areas. Yeah, how concerned am I? I'd put it at a three, just slightly more concerned than them, because I feel like that's my job, to be slightly more concerned than them. I mean, in a way.
Right. Comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, or whatever that line is, right? The old journalism school thing. One of the guys who, it seems to me, I'm not there, you are. Somebody who may be pressing a little bit is a guy who I don't think ever really presses, and that's Manny Machado. Not only is he slumping, he had something you will never, ever see, ever again. Three errors in the same inning. Where's Manny's headspace right now? Any signs that he may be able to sort of pull out of this anytime soon?
There are never any signs he just does, right? Like, now, right. Look, I thought that the 14 game hitting streak was going to lead to one of his epic, runs of 30, 40, 50 games. It didn't. It gave way to the floor falling out. He got 2 for 4 in the middle game of the series. And those are his only two hits in six games. So, you know, now he's in one of his, they're not generally as epic. They don't last as long, but he can go into these. And Manny will tell you he's not pressing. Manny's play will tell you he's not pressing, like the way he carries himself. But other people let you know, and it seems to be clear when he starts to swing at the wrong pitches, that Manny is pressing. Manny feels it. Manny, you know, bubble blowing Manny is not what's always going on in the inside. Manny wants to be the guy to have this team on his shoulders. So Manny's pressing.
Right. And he's still hitting 305, 814 OPS. You know, the slug isn't exactly what you'd want it to be. You know, to me, I guess it was the errors that surprised me a little bit, in that for years, and we watch more Manny Machado, you and I, than most people, the defense is the one thing that's always there. The defense doesn't slump. He doesn't go through bad defensive stretches. I can't think of many, if any. I'm willing to say that was a one-off, one bad inning. He's allowed to have it, but that surprised me more than anything the other day.
Yeah, look, I think, yes, me too. I mean, my goodness, and you're correct. I don't think the defense has been as good the last couple of years. Now, Manny's been hurt, too. And so I'm not going to hold last year against him. But, like, you know, it's not. I just want to be honest, because that's what I'll do. So that with them, when I write a glowing story about Manny, like I did last week, like, people know I'm being honest, right? Like, I don't think the defense has been as good the last couple years. It's not as rare to see a Manny error or Manny not make a play that we are so accustomed to him play make. Now, that said, Manny still makes a lot of those plays that boggle your mind. So I'm just trying to lay it out there that, like, you know, but you, yeah, three errors and, like, you know, one of them, I don't know, was an error. It was originally called the hit. It, you know, throw would have beat him. It got changed back. It got changed to an error. The other two were just, you know, look, he was trying to make a play on one of them, and the other one, he completely just came up on the ball, and that's on him, and it happens. I think it's fluky, but clearly pressing.
Yeah. It's so, you know, when teams are slumping, oftentimes they'll try shuffling some things, moving some people around, and you've written about this, Kevin. There's a growing thought that maybe Luis Arraez should hit leadoff and Fernando Tatis Jr. should hit second. Mike Schilt doesn't seem willing to make that leap just yet. What are the pluses and minuses of doing this?
Yeah, I won't be surprised if any day I go to there and it's changed. Just give Fernando a different look. Let him hit between those two guys. It's almost like a coin flip, though. We could spend the beauty of lineups, right, is they just don't matter. Mm-hmm. Put your best hitters in one of these spots and you'll be fine, right? Mm-hmm. But then it can matter, and we all love to talk about it so much. Mm-hmm. I'm generally the guy who doesn't get into too deep into lineup construction. But so there are, you know, things of like, well, yeah, why wouldn't we have Fernando batting second? Well, then there's this to say that, well, but what a great guy to have leading off. And, well, I say let him see some different kinds of pitches. Let him be pitched to a little differently with Arraez on, with Manny behind him. That, I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm asking that question, and I'm saying, could it hurt? And I won't be surprised. And that's why I ultimately have written about it. Generally, I'm like, you know, all right, easy on the lineup stuff here, because – you want to change things up, right? And believe me, we've reached the point in the slump where I'm getting blamed, where I'm getting the emails, where I'm either being way too hard on them or I'm just a softie. Why aren't I asking these questions? Blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess that's why the Phillies and the Cubs and the Yankees have won so many World Series recently, is because the media is so good there. You know, whatever. I generally am like, look, it's been my experience based on having been reactionary that a lot of times, like most of the time, it just doesn't matter. I do think, hey, you know, the definition of insanity, right? And I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this is insane to just keep the same lineup, okay? Tatis could go out and hit two bombs tonight on the leadoff spot. But keep doing the same thing over and over. Maybe just a little something. And there is merit there. And by the way, there's precedent there. They batted 1-2 there last year, and that went pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. And Luis Arraez, I mean, he has one superpower, right? It's reaching first base. Ideally, I know he doesn't look like your average leadoff hitter. Doesn't look like your average first baseman.
Neither does Kyle Schwarber.
Right. But the goal is to get on base and set the table for the next guy. Luis Arraez in the leadoff spot to me makes perfect sense. Really does.
Absolutely. And by the way, I just want to point this out. Kudos to Luis Arraez. He's got a little bit of the slug back. He's got three triples, and he didn't get his first one till middle of April, maybe. So I think he has the most in Major League since then. He's got a number of doubles recently. I'm talking like Luis is finding gaps and down the line. And you just really see him, like, looking at the field, you know, you see him working it, and they're starting to fall, which they weren't earlier. And so kudos to him, because that was missing last year.
Would you believe me if I told you that Luis Arraez and Manny Machado's slash lines look really similar? Arraez is hitting .304 with an OPS of .777. Machado's just a hair under that in batting average and just a hair over that in OPS with an OPS of .814 and a batting average of .305.
If this continues, Ryan, like, I've been like really, you know, I've asked questions. I've been really, you know, kind of standoffish to the whole Manny needs to slug. If this continues, that's a disappointment.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You're not paying Manny Machado what you're paying Manny Machado to hit 300, right? You'd take 265 and more slug, because somebody on this team has to hit home runs. And apparently that somebody is Gavin Sheets and only Gavin Sheets. Yesterday, one of the downsides, I think, of the Padres losing the way they did yesterday in extra innings, a walk-off hit, extending that losing streak, is that I think it sort of buried what would have been a performance of the season so far by Gavin Sheets, right? Two home runs yesterday, continues to do good things. 286, 830 OPS. This is their 5. Gavin Sheets, who's a guy who, you know, that slug component just was not there with the White Sox hardly at all. What's his career high in home runs? It's not much.
I just did a chart on this. I believe it's 11, but the guy, it certainly wasn't last year when he got all the plate appearances that he had. His high in home runs is 15 in 2022. And that was in, by the way, 410 plate appearances. So give him another 150 plate appearances, and you're talking about a 24, 25, 26 home run guy. If, you know, obviously that has to play out. He's at 160 plate appearances now almost, and he's earned himself some more playing time.
Yeah, absolutely. Can he be their left fielder?
It didn't look like it. I think they're going to continue to try that. They face a lefty tonight in Chris Sale and then two righties. So we could see that. Heck, we could see Tyler Wade there. I think we're going to continue to see Jason Hayward there. But that's something that we're keeping an eye on, right? Like, they can't keep getting bottom three production out of their left fielders. I mean, they could, I guess, if the core was still going like the core was, but they can't. I don't know that they're actively looking, as in I haven't heard anything other than I know they're looking. I've had that mentioned that they're, you know, they might have to go outside. Right. But their hope is that it's Tyler or it's Hayward, it's Lockridge, it's Wade, it's Sheets, it's Ornelas. Somebody that they won't tell me about down there. I don't know. But their hope is that it's internal, but that they know that they got the whiteboard going, looking at left fielders they can get.
Yeah, agreed. And, you know, to expect Gavin Sheets to continue to do what he's been doing, probably, you know, most guys do what their career says they'll do. And if Gavin Sheets were to continue hitting like this, it would be an all-time outlier season for him. You can't presume that production is going to continue all year long, is what I'm saying.
Yes. That's fair. I mean, that's 100% fair. He had 501 plate appearances last year with a 660 OPS. Now, he had 410 plate appearances, hit 19 doubles, 15 home runs, had a 706 OPS in 2022. If they get a 706 OPS out of Gavin Sheets and the other guys perform for $1.6 million, signed him on a minor league deal, control him for another 3 years, I think, 2 years, that's a score right there. What is he at right now? 830 OPS? Sure. I'd be willing to take the under on that. But also, Gavin Sheets made some changes, and outliers do happen. The guy he hasn't slumped, but there's been some times where you're like, there's Gavin Sheets. That's why has had some big games, has some good hits. It was funny yesterday, Schilt made this comparison. No, I want to make clear, he wasn't comparing Gavin Sheets to Mark McGwire. He was talking about the similarities in terms of Gavin Sheets is at bat against the lefty to get that, what was the go-ahead run in the 11th, after hitting two home runs, right? Temptation to be the hero again. Well, he was the hero, or would-be hero, because he reached down on a really good pitch by a left-hander to just knock a single into center field. That's smart, that's ability. And so he was talking about how Mark McGwire considered himself a hitter who happened to have power. I don't know that that's Gavin Sheets, but he's a big, strong guy. But he really, sometimes you go, wow. And you know who sees the most pitches per plate appearance on the Padres this year? Gavin Sheets. Gavin Sheets is a good hitter.
Yeah, Gavin, you know, baseball players come in all shapes and sizes, right? We're just talking about Arise and Fernando Tatis Jr. Those two guys look like they could be playing in different leagues and different sports altogether. Gavin Sheets looks like sort of central casting version of a ball player, right? Big, strong dude, left-handed swing, pretty swing. I did not know, and I should know this, I did not know that they control him beyond this season. That could be a major coup for them. If he can do something between what he's done in his career and what he's doing right now, even somewhere sort of halfway in between that, that's a bargain for a big league regular, I think.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that, it's real potential there. Again, to your point, you know, we're 45 games. He has played 45 games. What, they're at 48? He has 160 plate appearances. He's got 300 more, 400 more to go to prove himself. But, I mean, under team control, like, yeah, I mean, you're anticipating that Gavin Sheets has a role on this team going forward.
Yep. Padres Braves three-game series starting tonight in Atlanta. Padres have lost six in a row. And what do they get tonight? Chris Sale and Ronald Acuna Jr. Welcome to Atlanta, Padres. This could be a tough one. Again, pitching matchups. We're going to start tonight. Nick Pivetta versus Chris Sale. Pivetta, you know, away from Petco's, got a 5.2 ERA. But so much of that is sort of tainted by his terrible performance at Coors Field two starts ago, in which he gave up six earned runs in four innings. This should be an interesting matchup between two power pitchers, Chris Sale and Nick Pivetta. Chris Sale, 2-3 with a 3.62 ERA. Right? Padres did win. Padres did win when they faced Chris Sale on opening day. But always a tough opponent here in Chris Sale.
1.72 ERA over his last five games, 40 strikeouts and 31 in third innings. Much like the Braves, I think a little different than what you saw in that opening series.
Yeah. It's a different team. On one hand, there's no Jurickson Profar. Counterpoint, Ronald Acuna Jr. is back, and they're playing much better baseball. This is a Braves team that, after just a horrendous start, they're one game under 500. You know, they've come a long way, and having Acuna back, I mean, the 2023 National League MVP, somebody who, you know, aside from maybe the Fernando Tatises and Ellie De La Cruzes of the world, is one of the more entertaining players in baseball.
It's not quite the Braves. It's not quite the opposite of the Padres, but you know, they were 5-13 on April 16th. They got themselves to 21-21 like a week ago. That was their first time at 500. So let's do the math here. 5-13 to 24-25 is 19-12. You know, the Padres were 14-3 around the same time. And now they are 27-21. So that's 13-18 since being 14-3. So right. And you could really pick some different spots and it might even be worse. They've won four of their last 13 games. Now, of course, going 0-6 is going to take that small sample size. But go back to when they were 14-3, right? Like, look, they were fine until that Yankee series, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they got to 12 games over 500. So they were like a game over 500 between, I think it was the 13th of April and the 5th of May. Great job. Won that first game of the Yankee series, 12 over. You go 9-8 the rest of the season after building yourself a plus 12 in the win column. You're probably, I think the math says 90 wins, right? Mm-hmm. But that's not what's happened since then. So, they're kind of the opposite. And Acuna, what a great player. Gets hurt an awful lot. He's what Fernando Tatis Jr. is trying not to be.
Right. No, you're 1,000% right. Saturday, Michael King versus Grant Holmes. We know about Michael King. I'm not sure I know a ton about Grant Holmes. He pitched in relief in the opening series. He's a 29-year-old righty. He's got quality starts in three of his last four trips to the mound, according to Jeff Sanders. Somebody who, the winners get good production out of from unlikely places, and this seems like one of those guys.
Yes, I think it's his like 17th career start. This is a guy, you know, he made some starts last year. Yeah, like you said, has had some quality starts. I didn't happen to see the opponents. I looked it up. I can't remember. I didn't write it down. So, but yes, look, the Braves find them, kind of like the Mariners. They find good pitchers. They build good pitchers.
Yep, yep. And then Sunday, it's Dylan Cease and Spencer Schwalenbach. Dylan Cease, an Atlanta area native, will back home pitching Sunday afternoon. And then it's all the way back to San Diego for a Monday game against the Marlins with a weird early start time.
Dylan Cease, yeah, after a weird late start time here. Thanks a lot, Braves. So that's a 1 p.m. Pacific time, which means 4 o'clock here. And then the Padres play it, I believe it's 3 o'clock Pacific time on Monday. Is that correct?
No, 5:40.
Oh, 5:40. Okay. So they do have like 27 hours. Okay. Gotcha. Still, it is very weird that we're playing here 4:05 or 4:10 p.m. on a Sunday when the team's got to go across the country. But whatever. Play hot as heck. Here's a troubling thing. I remember all of 2023, all summer, I should say, as it got obvious, tracking how the Padres were doing when their pitchers did well. And their record was among the worst in the league when their starters made quality starts. And that's the sign of a bad team. That's the sign of if it lasts, every team goes through funks. But I'll be keeping an eye. I have a new stat I'm watching because the Padres are 4-5 in the last 9 games in which their starter has had a quality start. And a couple of those were not just like yesterday's where, you know, Colet got a quality start, 6 innings, 4 runs, 3 of them earned. It's a quality start, right? You should win that game. Some have been like 6-0, like 6 innings, 0 runs, like, I mean, or 7 innings, 1 run or whatever. Like, the Padres are not capitalizing on good starting pitching. Whereas before, they were overcoming some shaky starting pitching. Their bullpen was picking up their starters. Now, this is what, okay, two things. This is when you struggle, but also if it lasts, this is just what a bad team is. It's right. That you're not getting the things together in harmony, that you are finding a way to have one more run than the other team. That's one of the Schiltisms, one of the things right. That his players talk about. But that's how it happens, where your starter gives up 4 runs, 3 of them earned, you find a way to win, which is what should have happened yesterday. Could have happened, obviously. And that's what a good team will do more often than not. It's what the Padres have done, by the way, more often than not this year, just not lately.
Right. And it's what the Padres did on opening day against the Atlanta Braves, right? They faced Chris Sale. They got down early, rallied, did just enough. Gavin Sheets had that pinch hit home run. You know, this is now I'm going to start quoting Mike Chill. Jeez, what's happening to me? This is winners find solutions time, right? You're facing in Atlanta, Ronald Acuna in Atlanta. You got to find a way to win somehow. And yeah, it'll be a tough first game in this 3-game series. Hey, Kevin, I always put you on the spot and today's no different. Tell me about Truist Park.
I love it. I mean, I do. It's in the middle of nowhere, right? But there are some Marriott properties, 3 of them, especially the one I'm staying at, very close, all of them within walking distance. I just messed up there. I never tell anyone where I'm staying. I'm going to have to put a pseudonym in. I love it. Sorry, I'm looking out because I'm looking over at the ballpark. It's a neat ballpark. It's not like funky. It's not tricky. It's not overdone. And it's in the middle of nowhere with a downtown feel because the Braves, to their credit, and believe me, everybody else in Major League Baseball's noticed, have built this. They own it. It's Braves Development Corp, I think. They built apartments, hotels. No, they own the land. They lease out whatever. Restaurants. It's this incredible entertainment and shopping district. There's this Omni Hotel that looks over the ballpark. Not staying there. It's not a Marriott property. That would be great, though. And so it's a neat feel. I like the brick wall. I like it. I know that, you know, a lot of people get bugged by this one tradition they have here. I'm old enough to remember when it wasn't offensive. I'm open-minded enough to not think that everyone in the ballpark's a racist when they do it, that they just love their team. It's a team with a lot of tradition. I really like it here.
Interesting. Kevin, one of my favorite things about you, you are not the sports writer stereotype. I am. I mean, I'm sitting here wearing a t-shirt I bought at Costco, you know, and a baseball cap. But the one way you are the sports writer stereotype is your brand loyalty with Marriott. So there we go. There we go. Padres Braves 3-game series starting Friday night tonight from Truist Park, just outside Atlanta. Then they're back home to take on the Marlins Monday for a Memorial Day early start, 5:40 p.m. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.